Acts chapter 11, verses 19 to 26. Now, those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen travelled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. The news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad, and encouraged them all with purpose of heart that they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. I don't know if you've ever heard of the man Zig Ziglar. Zig Ziglar died a few years ago, but he was a Christian motivational speaker in the United States. And Zig Ziglar tells the story of the man called Viktor Serebyenkov. Has anyone have heard of him? A bit hard to pronounce the name. Viktor Serebyenkov. He was born in the slums of East London. He was the father of his father was a Russian, and he had a Cockney mother. A teacher told Viktor that he was a dunce. He left school. She said to him there was no point in carrying on at school. So Viktor left school at 16. He went from one job to another for the next 15 years. One day, he decided to join the army. I think it was at the time of World War II. And so upon joining the army, or wanting to join it, he was given a psychological test. The test revealed that Viktor had an IQ of 161. Viktor was a genius. He'd gone about most of his life, for that 15 years, since his teacher had told him he was a dunce, walking and thinking that he was a dunce and not intelligent, and having no real hope for certainly any academic life. But it was revealed to him on this day that he had an IQ of 161. You, sir, are a genius. That changed Viktor's life. You know, Viktor went on to be an inventor. He went on to be a writer. And you can look up the internet, and I looked it up just before I came to see what books Viktor had published. And Viktor has a number of books that he has published. And one of them is Puzzles for the Super Intelligent. Amazing. What changed his life? What changed his life was certainly the IQ test, but also the fact that he was told that he was a genius. What a difference encouragement can make. This morning we looked at Barnabas, and Barnabas had a nickname. And the nickname of Barnabas was, that was his nickname actually. His real name was Joseph. His nickname was Barnabas, and Barnabas meant son of encouragement. We see his characteristics in Acts 11 verse 24. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. The first time we meet Barnabas is in Acts 4. Acts 4 verse 36 says, and Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus. I think that every church needs their Barnabases. And I must say, in my Christian life, I became a Christian around about the age of 20, God has supplied every year to me Barnabases of some sort. Mr. Barnabases and Mrs. Barnabases. I can trace my Christian life and I can say, there was a Mrs. Barnabas that God had for me. Actually, when I became a Christian, the first sermon I did was at Parramatta Boys High School, I think it was. It was a church plant. There was a group of people, maybe 10 people. I preached my first sermon, and there was a Mrs. Barnabas after there that encouraged me in the word that I just delivered. I preached again in that school hall, and again Mrs. Barnabas was there. And I think for her encouragement, I praise God for her, because she was someone that was encouraging me in my preaching ministry, as feeble as what it was. I've seen the provision of Barnabas's in my life. I remember one night at home, my wife and I, there was a car that pulled up the front. I might have told you this before, I'm not sure. It was the early hours of the morning, and someone got out of that car. They went to my letterbox, hopped back in the car, drove off, and there was a Barnabas. A Barnabas had left a sum of money for me in my letterbox in the early hours of the morning. I could tell you about ministers that have been Barnabases to me when I've been discouraged in ministry. Two ministers down a number of years ago at Campbelltown Baptist Church, the pastor and the assistant pastor, both of them are getting beside me and encouraging me and praying for me and being Barnabases to me. I've got a Barnabas now that I can ring up on the phone and I can say to the Barnabas, "What do you think about this?" And Barnabas, who's much older than me, will encourage me and talk to me and go through different problems I might have in ministry. Show me the word, share the word, and be a great encouragement to me. All of us need a Barnabas, and all of us need to be Barnabases, Mr. and Mrs. Barnabases. Well, the Bible says that we're to comfort each other and we're to edify one another. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 11 says that. Hebrews 3 verse 13 says that we're to exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Well, let's look at Barnabas and just unwrap a bit more of his characteristics here. We know that he was known for his encouragement to others. But I want you to see also that Barnabas was also known for his generosity. You're remembering Acts 2 verse 41, that there was 3,000 people that were saved. The Bible says, "And those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." We know that there were new believers that were coming into the church. Acts 2 verse 47 says, "And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." In Acts chapter 4, we know that persecution started in the church, but the church continued to grow despite the persecution. The Bible says in Acts 4 verse 4, "However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men came to be about 5,000. So the church is growing from Acts chapter 2 to Acts chapter 4. Acts 4 verse 32, we know that there was believers that were in need materially. Verse 32 says this, "Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold." Verse 35 says, "And they laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had need." Now, we know that there was no social service system in the government of the day there, so we see believers were providing for people that were in need there. Look at what verse 36 says. You see, Barnabas sees a physical need amongst the early church, and he meets that need. Verse 36 says, "And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." Barnabas knew that there was a material need. He provided encouragement to people, but also he used his money to provide a material need for those that were in need in the early church. I've got a Barnabas now that has helped me particularly last year, and it actually continues to help me this year. Last year was a scripture teacher, and I was also an itinerant preacher, and so I would travel to various different places. I came here to the Tabernacle, I went up to Armidale, went to a number of different places preaching throughout the year. Most Sundays I was away preaching, but I was teaching scripture. And the places I was teaching scripture at was at Manila. I lived at Tamworth. Manila was 44 k's away. And then I was teaching at Baraba, and Baraba was about another 50 k's away from where I live. So I was travelling one day about 100 k's one way and 100 k's back to teach scripture. I also got a position where I went about four times, I think, out to Lightning Ridge to teach scripture out there. That was a return journey of over 800 kilometres. God brought a Barnabas towards the beginning of the year, and he said, I know that you're going to have a financial expense in what you're doing, and he said, I want to help you with your fuel. He said, he was a farmer, and he said, I've talked with my mum, and he talked with his wife, and he said, well, we want to help you with your fuel. So that's what they did. They helped me throughout the year with my fuel so I could go to those various different places. At the beginning of this year, that Barnabas said, I know you're still going to be travelling because you're going to be coming back from Newcastle to Tamworth. We want to continue to help you. That's God's Barnabas. What, you know, that was such an encouragement to me last year, that God would bring a Barnabas to my place. I've known the man for a number of years, but God would use him in his generosity. Here in the early church, Barnabas saw a need and he met that need. Eternity, I believe, will reveal the fruits of his family's faithfulness. The Bible says it's about giving, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. The Bible there encourages us to sow financially to the Lord's work. So, first of all, he was an encourager. He encouraged people. Secondly, Barnabas gave physically to the need of the others. Thirdly, Barnabas, and we saw this morning, took Saul and brought him to the apostles. And I mentioned this morning that in modern day terms, if you looked at Saul, he was a terrorist. It'd be like me today. I was thinking in the car today, how would I describe Saul today? You know that in Australia now we have people going and they're fighting for ISIS and they're naming them on the TV, and those people are coming back to our nation, and we don't know what they're going to do, what they're going to do when they arrive on these shores, what sort of threat it would be. It would like me be taking a well-known ISIS fighter that's gone overseas, come back to our country, and standing up for him and saying, I believe in him, because this man has been changed by the power of the gospel. What a difference it made to the early church when a terrorist called Saul was brought to the church at Jerusalem. The church at Jerusalem wanted nothing to do with him, and yet Paul gets him admission to the church. Barnabas gets Paul into admission in the church at Jerusalem. Look at Acts 9 verse 26. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out, and he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists, but they attempted to kill him. Barnabas gets him entry to the church at Jerusalem. They were afraid. They knew his reputation. Imagine you being perhaps a brother of Stephen in Jerusalem, and you're in the church there, and your brother had been stoned, and you know that Saul was approving of that. He stood and he held the cloaks of those that were stoning your brother. Just imagine Saul is brought along as the killer of your brother, and he comes to the church. Would you want to let him in? I don't think I would. But Barnabas brings him to the church, and Barnabas testifies on his behalf. He declared to them how he'd seen the Lord on the road, and that he'd spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. I know that Barnabas was under the hand of God, and I believe in the sovereignty of God. But what if Barnabas didn't have the ministry of encouragement to Saul? Saul became the Apostle Paul, He wrote, they believe, 13. There's a question over the book of Hebrews, but I don't think Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. I think Luke wrote the book of Hebrews, but we can debate that after. But he wrote 13 of the New Testament books. If Barnabas hadn't given Saul admission to the church at Jerusalem, Barnabas saw the future, and he saw that Saul could be involved in the ministry. Can anyone else think who Barnabas stood up for? It's great to have people stand up for you. I don't know if you've ever been to any church battle meetings, but sometimes it's great that someone stands up for the pastor occasionally if there's some big dispute going. I know it wouldn't happen here, but I've been to some beauty Baptist battle meetings before, and it's good to have people supporting you. Well, there's another person, and it was John Mark. Barnabas stood up for John Mark, Acts 15, verse 36. Now, this involved Paul, and I wonder if Paul forgot who stood up for him, but Acts 15, verse 36, then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they're doing." Need to say that Barnabas was not only an effective encourager, Barnabas was an effective missionary as well. He ministered with the Apostle Paul. Now Barnabas was determined to take with him John called Mark, so that's Mark, who wrote the Gospel of Mark, but Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Then their contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Here is John Mark, and on the first missionary journey, John Mark had turned away, Acts 13, verse 13. Now when Paul and his party set sail from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. Paul was angry about that. First missionary journey, and John Mark turns back. We don't know why. We don't know whether it was illness. We don't know whether it's homesickness. We don't know whether it's fear. We're not sure. But John Mark departed that mission, and Paul was upset about that, and Paul didn't want to give him a second chance. But Barnabas, again, intervened for a person that needed encouragement, and he intervened for John Mark. And failure was not final as far as Barnabas was concerned. And Barnabas, again, didn't look at the past, but he saw the potential of John Mark. And so you add it up. We have now, because Barnabas encouraged Saul, we have 13 letters in the New Testament. And now also, because he encouraged John Mark became the author of the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark was directed at the Romans. And here we have more in the Bible, another entire book in the Bible, because Barnabas was behind encouraging others. Great to think about that, isn't it? Great to think about that. What about when people fail us? What about when people have really disappointed us? Do we write them off like Paul did, wrongly here? Or do we say, "Oh, no, I'll give you another chance. I'll give you another go. Let's go on with ministry." Our God forgives us because of Christ. Do we forgive others? Colossians 3 verse 12 says, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do." Aren't you thankful that God, our God, is a God that pardons? Micah 7 verse 18, "Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever, but he delights in mercy. He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea." I'm glad God has given me a fresh start when I became a Christian. I'm glad God didn't just write me off because of my past. but that God in the person of the Lord Jesus came and he died on the cross for me, and he died on the cross for every single person in this room, all our failures. What's interesting, you know, when you read towards the end of Paul's life in 2 Timothy 4 verse 9, I think this is just great. Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Cretans for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. Wow, isn't that great? Didn't want to take him on that missionary journey. Barnabas stands up for him. And here we see Paul acknowledges that Mark is useful for the ministry. Who might you encourage in ministry? Who might you encourage this week? Who's your Sauls? Who's your John Marks? Not only did Barnabas encourage individuals, Barnabas encouraged churches where God had him minister. Acts 11, here it says, verse 19, now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen travelled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who when they had come to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the word, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. The news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. Just to give you a bit of historical background, because of the persecution that occurred around the time of Stephen, the believers were scattered from Jerusalem, and some of those believers ended up in Antioch. And there they shared the word of God in Antioch. The city had a population of about 500,000. It was, it was the only city in its time that lit its streets up. Streetlights, way back then, was in Antioch, the first city in the world at that time that lit its streets at the night. It had a busy port and it was a centre of commerce, and it was a town where the gods of antiquity were worshipped. It was an opportunity to present the gospel. And when the gospel was preached at Antioch, many believed. Acts 11, verse 21. Yeah. You know, Paul knew the power of the gospel. I still believe in our secular day today in the power of the gospel. I believe that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Yeah. And that the gospel preached will be God's effective, and still is God's effective ministry or way of turning people from hell to heaven. Yeah. From this secular world to salvation in Jesus Christ. Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I went out the other day, street witnessing, and I was surprised. I walked up to three people. One person really didn't give me too much time, but from memory I was able to give her a little bit of literature. And then I walked up to two other people, and those two other people gave me, I think, between 10 and 15 minutes each. I'm a total stranger. Go up to them, one at a bus stop, one outside the station, and I started engaging and talking to them. This is secular Australia. I don't know if people are really different in Newcastle, but you mightn't get three out of three down in Sydney. But people were willing to listen. They didn't become Christians. One guy said that someone had witnessed to him, I think he was probably in his 50s, and someone had witnessed to him when he was about 17 years of age. And he said, I asked him this question, and I'll ask you this question. And I said, yeah, go ahead. And he asked me the question he had, and I was over, and I gave him a similar answer that the guy had given him when he was 17 years of age. But he remembered that someone had tried to witness to him all those years ago. And he wasn't angry. He was able to just stand, and I was able to talk with him. I believe in the power of the Word of God, and I believe the power of the Word of God can still change the city, can still change lives, can still bring revival. Acts 11:23 says, when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad. Here's his ministry again. And encourage them all, that with the purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. When Christians are encouraged in the word, and when Christians are encouraged to witness, I believe the results is church growth.
Yeah.
Today we've got all these church growth methods. Go down to the Christian bookshop stores and you'll see all these church growth methods. Do this, do that, do that. And a lot of them, I think, forget the basics. The basics is preach the word. I charge you therefore between God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead. This is Paul to Timothy. At his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. The growth of the church at Antioch meant that Barnabas needed help.
Yeah.
And so what does he do? He sends for Paul. Acts 11:25. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Barnabas is an example to us of wisdom in growing churches. What does he do? Well, he simply gets beside people and he encourages them. Not only individuals, but he encourages the whole church with his ministry. He was willing to use what he had, his possessions, for the growth of the kingdom of God, and he did that. With Barnabas, you know, when he needed help, he goes and gets Saul. He knew that he couldn't do it all on his own in Antioch. D.L. Moody said this: it's better to put 10 men to work than to do the work of 10 men. Great saying. My job, I believe, as a pastor, is very clearly defined in Ephesians 4 verse 11, and it says, and he himself gave some to the apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. It's quite clear that pastors and teachers and evangelists here are to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. One of my major jobs as a pastor teacher is to equip you for what? For the work of the ministry. The work of the ministry is everybody, is somebody in Christ Church.
Yeah.
And there are people here that are not evangelists. There are people here that might feel very uncomfortable witnessing in the street. But there are people here that can encourage people like others cannot. There are people that can help practically that others cannot do.
Yeah.
We're all part of the body of Christ, and it's important that all of us have a ministry. What's your ministry? I read one book and it encouraged people to find what is on your heart.
Yeah.
What is your passion? And I thought that was quite good, but how the author put it, because I believe that God actually puts passions in our hearts to do his will. He fits me for certain jobs. He fits every single believer for certain jobs here.
Yeah.
I don't have the same passions that you have. You don't have the same passions that I have, but we're all one in the body of Christ, and the body of Christ has got to work together. And as we work together, we bring the word of God to this town and to this nation. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. What God might do with good men and good women who are Barnabases, full of the Holy Spirit, submitted to God's word, men and women of prayer, men and women of faith. What he might do in this town with Barnabases that are alive for the Lord Jesus. Someone encouraged Viktor Seryankov in his life. He thought he was worthless, but in actual fact, the Lord had given him a brain, a super brain, a genius brain, an IQ of 161. It just had to be discovered. And when he did that, that day he knew that result, he walked out and he began using that brain, realizing that he was not a dunce. We're created for great things. We're in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. When we work together, when we pray together, when we're submitted to the Spirit of God and the Word of God, there will be growth. We pray that you might use each of us with the time, the talents, the treasures that you've given us. Help us, Lord, in our own way, with the things that you've supplied us, to be able to spread the gospel amongst our family, our friends, this town, and even the world. Use us, Lord, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.